Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. This is just where we'll start. Look at a verse, Romans chapter 3. And we're going to continue our study of what we're calling the cults. And there are groups whose teaching is really contrary to the Bible. That's what it boils down to. We have to be careful for groups like this. Sometimes they use biblical terms. They say things. But when you really get down to it, they're different. They may say the name of Jesus, but it's not the same. We've seen for the last couple of weeks the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, this morning we're going to look at Christian Science. I'm not sure if there used to be a reading room downtown. I'm not even sure that reading room is there anymore, but it was called the Christian Science Reading Room, in which you could go in, you could read the Christian Science Monitor, which is a newspaper put out by the Christian Science, and then you could also read the writings of Mary Baker Eddy and those kind of things. So this group, of course, was founded by a woman named Mary Baker Eddy. We'll talk more about it in just a little bit. But remember our goals, that when we study something like this, our goal is to be grounded, know what we believe and why, so we'd be ready. So we say, okay, I know this, I know this, I know this. We know the truth about salvation and the Bible and Jesus Christ, and we're grounded in that so that we can be ready to give an answer for to anyone for the hope that is within us. Now, before we start, I wanted to read this. A person in this room in our class sent this to me. This is last Sunday. They got the email. I got the email. In fact, it was sent last Sunday. It says, JB, it was about 2 p.m. after church today, last Sunday. I had just finished some laundry, was lying down to take a nap when the doorbell rang. I opened the door and there were two women there with flyers. I knew exactly who they were. My heart started racing. I didn't realize having more knowledge about this group would make me more nervous to talk to them. But that's the way it is. How ironic, the day we finished our study in cults, they show up at my door. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. And she said, normally I might say I'm not interested, but until today, I decided to engage them in a brief dialogue. And so the lady showed me the flyer. It's the same flyer we held up in class last week. And so she said, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? They said, yes, we have the answers from the Bible to six important questions facing us today. And then she said, are you going to use the New World Translation? And they said, well, I guess we could use your translation if you like. And then she said, well, my translation doesn't answer the questions the way yours does. And then they said, they said something like, well, does God really love us? And then she said, yes, he does. And then, are we going to heaven? Oh, yeah, they're now to say this. Are we going to heaven? Do you believe we, Jehovah's Witnesses, are going to heaven? If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, is the gift of salvation simply by grace through faith? There's no limit on how many people can go to heaven. It's simply by faith alone, in Christ alone, we receive salvation. And then they asked the question, can we be happy? And she said, happiness is an emotion. What we really want is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord comes by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then they said to her, no, happiness comes by knowing our spiritual needs. And then she said, no, happiness is an emotion, but joy comes in Jesus Christ, and it comes by faith in him and receive the gift of eternal life. And then they said, well, if you don't want this pamphlet, we'll be on our way. And she said, I don't really need that. I have the truth. It's in Jesus Christ. It's faith alone that saves us. It's a free gift. And they said, have a nice day. So isn't that amazing? So Christian Science may be right around the corner. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, I talked to some people after we did the Mormons, and guess who showed up at their house? Mormons. Yeah. Maybe if we do L. Ron Hubbard, maybe Tom Cruise will show up at your house. Wouldn't that be great? Tom Cruise. Then again, maybe not, right? All right, let's start with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for the Bible and how perfect it is. And how that we have the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he paid for sin, that he rose again, that he gives eternal life to all who believe, that the Bible is accurate and perfect, that Jesus is the Savior, and that salvation is a gift. Thank you, Lord, for these great truths. Thank you that you want us to know your word. You want us to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. You want us to study to show ourselves, where we can study and know the word of God so we can be ready to give an answer. You want us to rightly divide the word of truth. So, Lord, we just ask you now that teach us as we study and as we look through your word. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 3:23 is a famous verse that every one of us could quote. For all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory. So we've all sinned, right? Now the group we're fixing to look at, the Christian Science, they say that sin is not real. That sin's not real, that we don't sin, and there's not death, that they're illusions. And that the way to deal with sin is to realize that it doesn't exist. And so we're going to look at that. By the way, I want you to understand something just as a start, and we'll get as far as we can get today. And I've got a lot of little stuff to read, so we may not get through the whole thing today. I don't have it in two parts or anything, but I thought maybe we might could. But look at this. I want you to think about the fact that the way that we're sinners. We're actually sinners as human beings in three ways: imputed sin, inherent sin, and personal sins. Now, what this means, imputed sin is this, that when Adam sinned, Adam's sin is imputed to every human being. Every human being. Romans 5:12, as through one man sin into the world and death by sin, and death passed upon all, for all sinned. What the Bible actually says, when Adam sinned, since all human beings were in Adam, Adam is the head of the human race, it's called the Seminole view, but the bottom line is that when Adam sinned, his sin was imputed to you. So technically, on your record book, you look and it says, ate fruit. Ate fruit. I didn't eat the fruit. Yes, you were. You did. It was imputed to you. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. There's a second way that we're sinners, and we call it inherent sin. And that's Ephesians 2. It says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We come into this world with a natural capacity to sin. We call it the flesh. That's the way the Bible calls it. But you know this. We never teach people to do wrong. When you have little babies, little children, they're starting to grow up, we don't teach them to lie, to cheat, to steal, to kick, to take to other people's toys. We don't teach them any of that. Why? They already do it. We come in this world as a sinner. We come with the inherent nature to sin. It's called the flesh. We have to teach people to do right. We don't have to teach people to do wrong. We teach people to do right. People naturally do wrong. And so we're sinners not only because we have Adam's sin imputed on our account, we also are sinners because we have the natural bent to sin. And the third thing is we personally sin. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I just want you to understand that when Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy, and you read the writings and you look at the stuff that they say, and they want to tell you that sin is not real, sin is just something that our minds have thought about, and that the way we deal with sin is to deny its existence. I want you to understand that you are a sinner because Adam's sin was imputed to your account. You are a sinner because you have a natural capacity to sin. And we are sinners because we on purpose choose to do wrong. We sin and we've come short of God's glory. So the very start of our lesson, we just must understand who we are. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. We need a Savior. As we look at a group called from a lady that started this group called Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science Group, we find something that's different. The key teaching of the group is that there's no sin. There's no such thing as sin and death. Now, I want you to understand that. There's no such thing as sin and death. What happens to them? We're burying them, right? You know, I had a seminary professor once at Dallas Seminary. He said that he decided one time that he would go to one of the main offices in Dallas for Christian Science. It was pretty big because Dallas was big. And so he goes down into this place and he goes up to the counter and there's a lady behind the counter and he says, "I would like to speak with Mary Baker Eddy, please." Now, she lived in, you know, she died, by the way. Okay, and the lady said, "She's not here." He said, "That's okay, I'll wait." And he sat down. And the lady didn't know what to say. And finally, he got back up again and about 15 minutes later and said, "Has she come back yet? I'd like to meet with her." And the person said, "Well, no, she's not here." And he said, "Now, didn't she form this group, right?" And the lady behind the counter said, "Yes, Mary Baker Eddy was our founder." Said, "Now, didn't she teach there's no sin in death?" The lady behind the counter went, "Yes, so I'd like to see her. I would like to meet with her. And I'm willing to wait." And the lady finally said, "Well, the truth is Mary Baker is dead." And he said, "And don't forget that." Turned around and walked out. "Don't forget that. Death is an illusion. Where is she if it's an illusion, right?" I mean, you think when people reject truth, they will believe anything. Well, this group teaches there's no such thing as sin and death, that matter is evil, including sin. Disease and death are unreal. They're just in our minds. What does the Bible say about salvation, eternal life in God? What do they say about all of that? Well, let me begin by saying this, that Christian Science is a lot like grape nuts. Grape nuts are neither grapes nor nuts, and Christian Science is neither Christian nor science, okay? So just remember that. I'm not sure that's the first thing you want to tell them But it is true. Maybe just offer them a bowl of grape nuts and then say, you know, life is like a bowl of grape nuts. I don't know. As we look at these groups, what we've been doing is looking at the big three areas. You remember what they are? We've been giving the background. Then we've been comparing the doctrine with three big areas. And then we've been talking about how do you witness to these groups? How do you talk to these groups? The goal, of course, is to be ready to give an answer to everyone, to be grounded in what we believe and why. I forgot to go downtown this last week to see if that room is still there. I don't know if it's not there. Oh, so the Christian Science reading rooms basically are now on the internet. You can go to the internet and read the writings of Mary Baker Eddy and the things that are there. Okay, that makes sense because...
some smaller places it may have some reading rooms, but there's
right.
An indication that it would no longer have reading rooms. You just go to the internet.
Right, see the reading rooms were so, and now that we have the information technology invented by Al Gore, but now that we have the internet, that you... I don't know. Anyway, what? I must have ate something funny this morning. Anyway... It makes sense that you go to the internet to be able to read things because, see, what they want you to do is be able to read about the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. What does she say about Scripture? What does she say about Jesus Christ? What does she say about sin and death and sorrow and those kind of things? So how does it all fit together? And that's one of the areas. Our goal, of course, is to be ready to give an answer. The Christian Science Monitor is an award-winning newspaper. Christian Science Monitor. But it's from a cult. Just think about that, okay? Well, let's get a little background. I think this is the first thing. Let's background. The founder was Mary Baker Eddy. Her name actually was Mary Ann Morris Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. She lost three husbands. They all died. Maybe they were not what was real. Maybe she thought they were real or didn't think. I don't know what she thought. Anyway... in the fall of 1866, she fell near her home. She was in a great deal of pain. She gave up hope of ever being cured from this pain. She expected to die, in fact, because of the fall. And she read in Matthew 9 that Jesus healed people and claimed this for healing. And so what she said, if Jesus could heal the paralytic, she could be healed. And she got better. And when she got better, she said, you know, it's just... if you think it to be true, if you think you will be well, if you think there is no sorrow or suffering or death or sickness, you can be okay. And so she became what we call the Christian Science and the healing. The background on this woman is that she had a great deal of sickness as a child. She hated the idea of sickness. Her husbands died. She lost three different husbands. Her view on healing developed as her way of coping with sickness and death. In 1875, she wrote Science and Health. This is some of her writings. It was her work on health. And then in 1883, she wrote a book called Keys to Scripture. In 1879, which was in between this, she formed what is called the First Church of Christ Scientist. She considered her books to be divine revelation. Let me quote this for you. Here's a quote from her. She says, I would blush to write these books if they were of human origin. In other words, she said, I would be embarrassed to write these books if they were just from me. If they were of human origin and I, apart from God, were the author. But I'm only a scribe echoing the harmonies of heaven. So the works that she wrote, she says that these were inspired scripture coming to her from God. Now, when people study her background, they find that there's a man by the name of Dr. P.P. Quimby. He was called a drugless healer. She met him, and he believed this. He believed that all sickness could be traced to the mind, that the mind was the center of control of all disease. He claimed that by using an electrical transfer, he could take patients' illness on himself and destroy the sicknesses. So people would come to him, he would do something, he'd pick up some electrodes and put it all over, and then he'd put it on his body, and then he would say by electronic transfer, he would take their sicknesses and their disease and go on him, and he would be the one to heal. In 1862, she went to see him. became a fan. He became a fan of her. She became a fan of him. They said, boy, we think the same way. And if you read the writings of Mary Baker Eddy with P.P. Quimby, they're very close. The Christian Science Church denies, though, that he had any influence on her. And they say that P.P. Quimby only was an acquaintance, but that his writings had no effect on her. But if you read the writings of P.P. Quimby and Mary Baker Eddy, they're very similar. 1 month after his death is when she began to publish her work. She did not publish anything until after he died. It's funny that he died. You know, I don't know what happened. 1879, as I mentioned a while ago, formed the first Church of Christ Scientist. Today it's the Mother Church. I think it's in Boston. Let me see. I've got all kind of stuff here. I'm thinking it's in Boston. Let me read this. The first Church of Christ Scientist is a towering presence in the city of Boston. It owes its central located architecture nationwide to Christian Science as the Christian Science Reading Room of Mary Baker Eddy. That was the very first place that all this kind of put together. I've got some quotes I want you to see, but it's hard to believe, really. The general belief is that in reality, there's no matter. It's all spiritual. And that a sickness and a death and sin, those aren't real things. There is no sickness, sin, or death. It's all in the mind. God created all things. All things are good. There's no evil. There's no evil. There's no sickness, pain, or death. The philosophy, as I said, is her response to her childhood sicknesses, pain, and death. She wrote this as a quote, because God has been gracious in giving to me his final revelation of the absolute divine principles of scientific mental healing. Now, she says, this is the final revelation from God. Now, this is not the final revelation from God, your scripture, but what she got from God was the final revelation from God. It is dealing with the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. Scientific mental healing. Now, we all hear people say, if you just think about it, it's going to be better and get a positive attitude. And I'm all for positive attitude. And I know that if you wake up and you feel terrible, if you wake up and you say, it's going to be a great day and I'm going to get after it and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, whether I feel good or not. Sometimes things get a lot better. A positive attitude never hurt you. But sin and sickness and disease is not from your attitude. It's from the fact that we're fallen people and that Adam sinned and it's passed on to us and every human being. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. And the physical death is a result of spiritual death. We've all died. We all come into the world dead in trespasses and sins. So it's a sad thing when a person says what we want to do is realize that God has given these divine principles of scientific mental healing. Is that the first bell? Good. What do they say about the Bible? Let's start with this. How do they view the Bible? It says, God has been gracious in giving me his final revelation of the absolute divine principles of scientific and mental healing. That's what it says. The material record of the Bible. Now, this is what's so amazing. Here's a quote from her. She says, the material record of the Bible is no more important than the history of Europe or America. She says, the Bible is just a history book. And it's no more important than if you had another book on Europe or America. What she says is her revelation that God gave to her, these divine principles, that's the revelation from God, and the Bible is just a history book. She had extra-biblical revelation. She taught that the Bible should be viewed in light of her revelation. In other words, if you can look at the Bible at all, it has to be tied into what she wrote. That's why they have the reading rooms. So you go read her writings. You read her books. You read her articles so that you can take those. And then if you want to use the scripture at all, it has to tie in to what she has written. Yes. Oh, my gracious. You can tell us a lot.
And when you go to one of the services, they have a first reader and a second reader. And the first reader reads, they take things out of context. They just pick a section out of the Bible, and then they read from science and health. And so she explains everything, and so that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right? And like Sue mentioned to me, they would often tell me that if you don't get it, you're not smart enough. And so you're not intelligent enough to understand it, so you just got to accept it.
And that it's all in your mind about the sickness and the healing and the disease and death.
But the surprising thing was my mother, as a young person, was very sick. she had arthritis real bad and everything. And so then her best friend was a Christian Scientist. They came in, the practitioners all came and prayed over her and everything. Boom. You know, God does amazing things, and she didn't go to see another doctor for almost 50 years. So that's why she was convinced that it was the right thing. And so the latter part of her life, Sue and I would talk to her for hours about, no, you know, this is
right. It's the grace of God that she was healed. But they would say it was my thought process, my believing what Mary Baker Eddy wrote, and these divine principles somehow from God. As we go through this, that you were raised in that, as we go through this, if there's anything you want to say, well, here's another thing that happened, or here's another thing that's true, be sure and do that. If any of you were raised in that, because it's important, even if we have some personal testimony about some of this. So I appreciate that input. So they thought it's what you think. It's what Mary Baker Eddy stuff is the stuff. It's the stuff. And it just breaks your heart when you see people. It's like Jehovah's Witnesses. Remember the guy? He said he just didn't want to believe in hell because he just didn't want to believe. So his theology is there's no hell. Mary Baker Eddy said, I just don't want to believe in sin or sickness or disease. So there is none. And that's what we write about, and that's what we teach, that kind of thing. She wrote that God has been very gracious in giving me his final revelation. I've got a couple of other quotes. Let me see if I can find these. I've got to see which write-up. I brought a bunch of stuff just to read. I know the bell's going to ring here in just a second. Here's what she writes in Science and Health. She said, the revelation of truth in the understanding came to me gradually and apparently through God's divine power. So she would believe it was God's divine power giving her this revelation. She said, the book Science and Health is the revealed truth uncontaminated by human hypothesis. So what she got from God, as she says, is uncontaminated by human beings. It's uncontaminated by human. This is from God, and this is the message that God has for us to know. And it just breaks your heart because you see, this is what a cult is. Remember what we said at the beginning? A cult usually is centered around a person or a person's teaching. It's usually a person that has some idea about what they want, what they believe. It's different from the Bible. Suddenly there's different revelation because this person continues to get different revelation from the Bible. When they talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about what she said about Jesus, because she said that Jesus is a divine. Jesus was a human being, but he had a divine idea that he thought. His thought was the Christ thought, but he was just a person. See, because your theology has to fit. I mean, the Bible has to fit your theology. So she makes it up, and then she has to go to the Bible and say, Jesus really wasn't God. Jesus had a divine thought. He had a divine way of thinking. So we'll get more to that. What does the Bible say about itself? The Bible says all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have the truth. We have it all. We don't need extra biblical revelation. We need to realize that the Bible is the key. We need to encourage people to study the Scripture and not these other things. And that's how it works. You would go to the reading room to maybe read a verse, but then she explains it rather than reading the Scripture. And it's pretty powerful. That's the second bell. Okay, what we'll do is we'll stop there. We'll get into what they believe about Christ and what they believe about salvation. And then we'll get into some other things as well. Okay, thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for the fact that we have the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior. That, Lord, we realize that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We have a natural bent to sin. And, Lord, we know that we on purpose sin. And we thank you that Jesus Christ came to die for us, to take our place, to take our sins upon himself, to die and rise again, and to give eternal life as a gift, so that we would have life forever with you. Lord, we thank you that sin is not something in our minds, that it is real, that we are sinners, that there is death, there is pain, there is suffering, there is sickness, all because of the fall of mankind. And Lord, thank you that Jesus came to be the Redeemer, to redeem us and to give us eternal life. Lord, help us as we study. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.